It's Helping Hand, weekly feature on HPR One stations statewide and online at hawaiipublicradio.org in our growing online database of resources. On Friday afternoons on All Things Considered, we start and then we archive Helping Hand at our website. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and people and animals who are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for joining us. This week, we are following up with a group that we had on the program 1 year ago, approximately, and they had basically formed last year after the latest Kilauea eruption. They're called the Hawaii Lava Flow Animal Rescue Network, and you can find them as a public group on Facebook. And according to their page, which they have there on Facebook as a public page, it was created to serve as an informational hub for people needing assistance with pets and animals during the 2018 eruption. And they provided support, volunteers, and supplies to evacuees, to nonprofits, government agencies. And now they have a mission to save some highly vulnerable cows that are in danger on the island. They're looking for good homes, and they've taken up this mission. And speaking for the organization today, we're joined by Alessandra Rupar Weber of the Hawaii Lava Flow Animal Rescue Network and their Hawaii Cow Rescue Mission, which they have embarked on. Alessandra, welcome to Helping Hand.
Thank you so much for having me, and aloha from the Big Island.
Big aloha to you and everybody there who's tuned in and certainly part of your organization. First, briefly explain for folks listening, because I'm sure unless they heard the segment last year, it might be, and also you guys have gotten a fair amount of press too, so they may have heard about it, but for folks who don't know, if you can, explain for folks how the organization came together initially during the 2018 Kilauea eruption.
Well, the lava started erupting and we were all glued to Facebook and social media. Although I live in Kona, I was not in the affected area, but, you know, I have many friends and farm friends there. And so for about 1 or 2 days, we were just not leaving the screens anymore because we were just not knowing what is going to happen. And the second night, a friend from Puna contacted me on Facebook. She saw me being online at 1 o'clock at night. And she said, there are so many animals that are trapped and people just don't know what to do. Can you help? Because I have all kinds of things going on Facebook and groups and events and everything. And she said, can you do something? So we created a network overnight. We called out to all friends that we could think of from the Humane Society and from other sanctuaries, and just we got a core group together in 2 or 3 days, and we just did whatever we could. I think none of us slept for 2 or 3 weeks because there were so many animals in danger. Because a lot of people just couldn't, especially the farm animals, they were not equipped to take them out, and there was no organization on the Big Island being equipped for an emergency like that. And the emergency was gigantic, so it was very dangerous, and we did a lot, and thank God a lot of groups and government agencies actually ended up helping us, although we were just a Facebook network.
Oh, it's amazing power what you just said there, that something that came together as a Facebook public group could do all this good. It's a real testament to the potential positives of social media. And since then, after taking on that serious plight of all those creatures, your mission has taken a focus relating to the plight of a number of cows that had resided at the Big Island Dairy location. And to remind folks, Big Island Dairy was shut down after sewage overflowing from the site led to a lawsuit. It closed the operations. There were close to 3,000 cows there at this dairy operation, and they needed new homes or they would be sent to slaughter. Now, my understanding is many of the cows were shipped to other locations prior to the end of April. What have you guys been doing to help these animals, and how many of these cows still need homes?
Well, it's a similar thing. I read an article end of November when it hit the press that the dairy settled and that they were closing the dairy, and there were absolutely no mention of the cow's plight. You know, it was very formal, that and that needs to be happened by that and that time, and the cows need to be removed from the barns, and there was nothing. And I was just like, this is collateral damage and what is going to happen to all these cows? So same thing, bleeding heart, I reached out to a few friends, some of them from the lava flow last year, some of them just people I talked to a lot, and said, are you eager to start another group with me? You know what that happened, you know it means, another very, very, very intense time. And thank God some amazing people stepped up, and we started, well, we started first, we tried to get in touch with the dairy, but it was very bad timing because it was December, they had very bad press, people were on vacation, so it was not easy to actually get in touch with them, and so I kind of waited with starting a GoFundMe, but we did make it happen with a lot of persistence. We started negotiations. I already had some homes from sanctuaries that were willing to take some on, and we already raised a little bit of funds, and then as soon as we talked to the general manager, who was very helpful, we started our first rescue 2 weeks later. We got 61 bottle-fed calves out, found homes, ranches, landowners who were willing to bottle-feed them twice to three times a day. We provided vet care if needed. We bought milk replacer and feed. We financed all that. And since then, every month, we went in, did the same thing, raised money, found homes, and up to today, I just did a last count. We got 252 cows out, and six cows actually gave birth. So it's 258
wow.
lives saved. And we have a chance. In 2 weeks, we will take out 60 to 80 more. They are not fully financed yet. We are nearly there. So for that, we would need some more funds. We need more homes. If anybody on the Big Island hears that, please open your ranches, your farms, your land. All we are asking is a commitment to the cows. The cows are animals like any other animal that need maybe vet care once in a while and deworming and maybe additional feed if the land is dry and good fencing. That's all we ask for. And after the 2 or 3 weeks that we are going in, we might be able to go in one more time, and that will be it. So, but the cows are about $375 per individual. So you can imagine if you want to take out 50 or 60 more, that's a big amount of money still to raise. And then we do want to provide vet care in the beginning. We also provide the cost for castration, because the wonderful thing is, which usually doesn't happen in a dairy, that we also get boys now, because usually a dairy doesn't deal with the male calves. But so 50% of the calves we save now are actually boys,
oh.
and so we're going to castrate them for the new adopters, just so, you know, there's no interbreeding going on or anything. So we take care of that too.
So for let's start with, for people who want to adopt the cows, what are requirements or important things they need to know?
We are asking for a minimum of possible 2 acres per cow. Cows eat a lot. They need to be rotated if possible. And we only adopt out 2 cows minimum because they're herd animals and they just shouldn't be alone. So 4 acres or plus would be ideal. Of course, if somebody says, I'm committed to give them supplemental feed and alfalfa cubes and salt stones and salt lick and everything, a little bit less would be possible. But people have to be very realistic. Cows live a very long life and they eat a lot. So there needs to be water available, fresh water. There needs to be, if somebody is not on site, somebody needs to check in on them once in a while. And very important is fencing. These are very strong animals. They're very big. They're not wild or crazy, but they can jump over rock walls and they can, you know, they can go into fencing. So we are going to every possible adopter and we talk to them, we look at their fencing, we make sure there is water, and we also really want to... people have to be clear, these are not free lawnmowers that never ever need to be taken care of. We had a lot of experiences at the lava flow with that because agricultural animals are tax write-offs. For if you have ag land and you have animals, you get a tax write-off. And so a lot of people get sheep, goats, and cows, but they don't take care of them. I don't want to say a lot, but we had, sadly enough, a lot of rescues where the animals were severely neglected, they were not dewormed, they were actually very sick. So that was last year. The lava flow, we realized a lot of people get the animals but think that they don't need to be guardians for them. So we want to make sure with the cows, you don't have to be rich, but please, these are animals, these are beings, and they just need to be looked after as any other animal or any other individual. So they do cost a little bit of money. You know, they usually, if it's very dry, supplemental feed, and they should be dewormed once a year.
And for people who cannot adopt a cow, because as you point out very eloquently, there's a lot involved in it, and it's a major creature which needs a lot of love and care. Right. But there are probably a lot of people listening who would like to support your efforts or who are touched by the plight of these innocent animals. And when you're a big animal like a cow, an elephant, a rhino, I feel for them because it's very difficult to be really, really big and stuck in this world where everything else is smaller than you, and you have a lot of needs, like you're pointing out. I mean, you have to eat, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to sleep, you have a lot of things that come up, and when you're a really big creature, that can be tough. But so for the folks who are listening who are touched by the plight of these animals, maybe it's supplies, maybe it's volunteering, advocacy, sharing the story. What are other things you wanted to get out there for ways that people can support this latest effort by you guys?
I mean, you know, of course, they could go to Amazon and we could create a list for cow toys because they love to play with big balls. They're basically like big puppies. But realistically, what our biggest help is funding, because, you know, not only do we have to buy the cows, but we do help. We just helped one ranch that ran very low on funds, took in too many animals. Had a severe scare with one of our cows, so we stepped in, although it was months ago, and we paid for vet care medication, and we flew in emergency medication from Oahu, and that's actually not really what we were planning to do, because, you know, we're a Facebook group with a GoFundMe. We don't have a Patreon account yet.
Sure.
We're not even an NPO. But, you know, these cows, although they're meanwhile over 260, you know, they're our family now, so we do whatever we can. So funds are really the most important thing, because we also try, if we have to, and that's the least we can help with, is because a lot of people have property, but they don't have fencing. And fencing, you know, a big acreage costs a lot of money, and we can help with volunteers. We can create a group that comes in and helps with the fencing, but we just don't have enough funds at the moment. We never know to actually and we have several people asking us, you know, our land is empty, we have wonderful grass, can we help, but it's not fenced, and, you know, we just don't have a few thousand dollars, you know, over the top right now. But you know, one of our dreams is maybe somebody wants to give us their land, and we can start a cow sanctuary, because it is very hard now to find homes, and we have more cows to save. We would love to, you know, be a prime example in the world, the first cow, you know, vegan cow sanctuary, because there are cow sanctuaries in the world there. But they are dairy cows. You know, we would just love to have people come in and say, you know, meet these amazing creatures and come on a vacation and take care of them, and just come to Hawaii and be touched by something that is happening all over the world, because the world is changing, more dairies are closing, and not enough people talk about the plight of all these animals, what is going to happen to them when more and more factory farms are going to close. I mean, it's maybe something good because we want less cruelty in the world, but what is going to happen to all these animals? So, you know, I see that especially in the vegan community, everybody's like, yeah, another one is closing, and it's like, are you going to save all these animals?
Right. Who's going to take care of all the creatures,
so,
you're saying?
So we're talking, you know, I was talking to a few organizations, because I said, I think this is basically for any animal lover, I don't care if it's a vegan, a vegetarian, or a meat eater, for anybody who cares, is what are we going to do in the next 10, 15, 20 years, when maybe, hopefully, a lot will change in terms of the suffering of the animals. Of course, a part will always go to slaughter, but hopefully we can rescue a lot. And where is the land and where is the sustainable business model if we cannot commodify them anymore to actually feed them and for people to have new jobs? Because all these people who work in these factory farms are going to be jobless. So, you know, I challenge everybody that we start a think pool worldwide. How can we have new business models thinking outside of the box to actually save animals but have new incomes? You know, my dream is actually to purchase this dairy here, which is for sale, and start, you know, a hemp milk factory and save 300 cows, and but don't use them, you know? I mean, everything is possible in this world. It's just we really need to start thinking outside of the box, find investors who want to go into a new paradigm.
How many cows are left there?
There are 300 cows left there for the last I heard, but they're not going to be available to us, but they're also not going to slaughter. I think, I'm not completely sure, I cannot verify that. I think they are going to stay there. And these cows are safe now because they are on pasture. It's just the surplus of the 300, which is, we are going to take about 80 to 100 out. And then I know there are another 150 available that right now also will not go to slaughter. It's just that if another group that wants to use them for another business model, if that group doesn't come up with that money, then we probably going to continue, or I'm not sure. Right now, ours would be the next ones that go to slaughter, but we have enough funds. We need about, I would say there are 50 more that are endangered, 40 to 50, and the rest is a little bit vague right now because they want to, you know, somebody, they want to have a buyer for a new dairy, and nothing I can do besides living the dream that I'm going to buy the dairy and start a, you know, right, a cow sanctuary.
Well, you put out the ideas, and there are people who are going to be supportive in different ways. Right. And certainly for folks who want to help out, there are a variety of ways. And clearly, funding is a big issue. You can go, when you go to the Hawaii Lava Flow Animal Rescue Network, which is their public group on Facebook, at their Facebook public group, you can look for the link for the GoFundMe page, Hawaii Cow Rescue. And at the GoFundMe, people can make donations there. You can also reach them and send an email if you wanted to help out with volunteering, if with fencing supplies, you had adoption questions. And their email is hlfarn808@gmail.com, hlfarn808@gmail.com. Of course, that stands for Hawaii Lava Flow Animal Rescue Network. You can get the full interview, the radio feature, all of the contact information archived in their Helping Hand post that we are going to have at hawaiipublicradio.org, where you can find all the other Helping Hand segments too. It's a very impressive mission and a lot of very vulnerable creatures. And as you pointed out, they did make the news when this first happened, and then it wasn't really, the focus was not so much on the animals. And then it's like, what's going to happen to all these living creatures that need a good home? And one of the people involved in the effort, you may have read, I saw you were talking to Civil Beat, all kinds of different organizations have covered you guys. Alessandra Rupar Weber from the Hawaii Lava Flow Animal Rescue Network, the Hawaii Cow Rescue, their latest mission that they're involved in, and lots of ways to support them. Really appreciate you taking some time to be on the show with us and that you reached out was touched by some of the photos and the videos I see. Especially there was one, a guy had a cow up in a hammock, a little baby one, and they were sitting there snuggling, and they really do look like adorable creatures. So next time you're near one, give them a big, big hug from me and a big kiss right on the ear.
We shall name one after you.
and really do give a couple of them big squeezes for me and tell them I was asking about them and wishing them all the best, seriously. And
thank you.
The very best of luck. I hope this helps you guys.
Thank you very much for having us again. And if anybody's interested, stay tuned. We are in the process of finally forming an organization, and Lots to do, you know, especially for farm animals. We don't have enough vets, so we want to employ a vet, and we want to have an emergency center and all that. So anybody who is interested in all kinds of animal-related stories on the Big Island, please, you know, stay in touch with us, and you're always welcome to come over and visit us. We have a lot of cows to show you.